You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as always on a Thursday, it's the double-header dream team of David Shapiro, Deputy Chairman at Sasfin Securities in Johannesburg, and of course Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth. I just want to tell you something, gentlemen, you know, because we were just talking off air about everyone getting a little bit fed up with what's been going on. I, about once a month, go for an Indian meal, a curry. And these days I get a takeaway. So I cycled a couple of Ks to my favourite place and I get there and I'm not allowed in. I have to put my smartphone on some gizmo and I have to order on my smartphone and then they'll let me in. And there's a little area where I can sit on my own in isolation. And the restaurant is probably about a third of the size that it was in terms of tables. I mean, all the tables were full, but there were no waiters. And I thought, well, what's going on here? The whole place is empty. Then a chap comes out with the food, puts it onto a trolley, and he's got like an Xbox console, and it's like a remote-controlled trolley, and it delivers the food to the correct table.
Sounds wonderful.
And I mean, what is that? What's the world come to? What's happened to us? It's unbelievable. We don't understand how much it's affecting us, I don't think.
No.
David, over to you. You're vocal on this subject.
No, I'm not vocal. I'm just very, very distressed about what's happened. I think, Lindsay, in a decade or so, we're going to look back at this period, you know, in the same way as we look back at 08 and 09 at present and just realize how we messed it up. You know, that's where I'm vocal about it. I'm vocal.
Yes.
I'm vocal. You know what? When I look at the Disney release of this, what's it? Mulan, whatever this
Mulan.
Is.
Mulan.
I mean, this is Disney, the quintessential American company. Donald Duck, Mickey Mouse, whatever it is. And they're fighting over it. You know, they're fighting over the whole issue. And I'm saying, hold on a sec. What's happened? This is Disney. You know, they've become villains because they made the movie in China or used Chinese people. You know, so when I look at this, I say, you know, this is crazy. And my big gripe is that we closed borders, we closed towns, we closed suburbs, we closed everything. But we've closed our minds as well. And I think this is where the criticism is going to come, is that if we would have got together as a world, you know, if world leaders would have got together and said, okay, how are we going to handle this pandemic? What are we going to do so that life, you know, returns to normal? Instead, we've got UK all over the place, America all over the place, Trump lying, you know, lying all over the place. When I say lying, that's not lying down. I mean, just fibbing all over, you know, about yes. Whatever. You know what's happening to the rhetoric at the moment. So I look at it, I just shake my head. I say, okay, sit at home.
But doesn't
just
it feel
trade my way out of this?
Mm? Doesn't it feel also like just even the thought of international travel? Because it's funny because obviously you gents both and I was married on the weekend, so we're trying to look for a honeymoon. But I mean, we can't look international. You know, we're going to go for a local trip somewhere because so the idea of even, you know, going to some far flung destination with palm trees in a desert island. I mean, that's a distant memory. That was pre-COVID. Totally. You know, that was BC. I just don't know how much longer this can go on for where people, you know, the world is not where we are. I mean, I was chatting to you both off air. We had our first Sanlam sort of strat session yesterday and we had to go into this boardroom, which was COVID friendly. First time I've seen my colleagues for 6 months, but we had our temperature check. We had to download a COVID app and fill out this app of our temperatures and all the rest of it. And we sit in this boardroom with our masks on and perspex screens. I'm thinking, this is not normal.
No, it's not normal.
This is not normal.
No. A friend of mine got married just before the lockdown, and then her husband went over to Mauritius where he resides. And then, of course, the barriers came down and she couldn't go there. I don't think they've even had a chance to consummate their marriage yet. They've been married for 6 months and she's just found a flight, one of those Mercy flights or expat flights or something, and she still has to be in quarantine for 2 weeks and can't see him apart from at the window and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. This is not normal stuff. But anyway, talking about Sanlam and Nick Kunze, Sanlam results were out today. Tell us about them, please.
Yeah, I actually didn't think they were too bad. I mean, they're down 0.25% the share price. you know, they guarded recently. I think there's a little bit of an overhang with COVID claims with regards to the division out of Sun Tum. But, yeah, I think it was they were okay. Look at our division, the private wealth side. I mean, we flattened earnings, you know, over the last 12 months. And, you know, compared to something like ABSA, which has written down 95% over the last 12 months, to be flat, I think it's okay.
Yeah.
But there's no doubt about it, though. There are some challenges ahead with South Africa. And I must say, as David always talks about the outlook, I mean, the outlook was a little bit disappointing. Mm. We've got a new CEO, Paul Hanratty, who seems quite aggressive with expansion. So he's really keen to push things forward, wants to double earnings in 7-8 years over. So he's a little bit of a breath of fresh air. He's an old mutual, came from old mutual. But in general, I think, you know, I think it's going to be challenging. You know, we and I speak this from an employer and from inside knowledge as well as outside advice. I think, you know, within the South African and sub-Saharan African space, you know, we've got there's a lot of challenges ahead for the next few years, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay, another financial services giant, David Shapiro, First Rand came out. And I keep on hearing this now. I keep on hearing you've never been able to buy these banks as cheaply as you have in your investment history. There are some youngsters that have been saying that to me. And I keep on hearing it. And when I saw what happened on the JSE yesterday, i.e. this massive sort of SA Inc. rally, maybe people are finally going to be right. But David, I can almost sense across the airwaves here that you're shaking your head or you're sceptical.
Well, the scepticism comes. They impaired their loans by 24.4 billion.
That's absolutely staggering.
Now, I know that accounting makes things very difficult. You've got to look forward. But what they're saying is that, you know, these people might not pay us. They're not saying they're going to write it off. But there's a good chance that a huge amount of that will not be paid, you know. When you understand what's happening in the world, and you start to break it down into their various divisions, there's some serious issues from West Bank to I know they've got a very small UK operation, but along the line, all along the line, there are lots of issues. So, you know, Martin, I'm saying, okay, we don't have to be in a hurry. You know, why do you have to rush and push the share prices up now? We can wait and see where we are, 3 months, 6 months, whatever it is, because having fallen 70, 80%, or I don't know, what, 40, 50%, so what if I give up 10% on the return? Doesn't matter. You know, but at least I've got the luxury, hey, of patience, you know. Yeah.
I must tell you, David, I had a so I've been knocking heads with our guys for a while now. I've been quite vocal on your show as well, Lindsay, about these banks. I just don't think we're there yet.
No.
And I had such – I don't know if you've come across them, David. It was such a refreshing presentation this morning on our morning call from Cookie Koyman from Denk.
I've spoken to Cookie, though.
Impressive. I mean, the return is ridiculous. I mean, the guy is like a rock star. He's won every award going. And so refreshing to have a guy, you know, he must be close to retirement, but the passion for the market ridiculous. And I just remind him about the youngsters that come on board now.
Hello, Cocky.
They just don't have this passion. And but we asked him about SA Banks because he's very involved in the financial, a lot of his portfolio is in financials. Yeah. And he said, no, he's quite happy. He doesn't want to own HSBC, but he's quite happy to own – or Commerzbank is, you know, the earnings is deteriorating rapidly, but he wants to own a bank, and he owns a bank in Russia and someone else. And we asked him about South African banks. And he said, just not interested. He says, not that they're bad. He just don't – there's nothing exciting about them. You know, and he said he knows – he spoke to Michael Jordan. He's – he's one of his investors, and he said the same thing. It's just nothing exciting. They're just going to grind along sideways for a while. And I guess that's how you sum SA Banks up. He said they're cheap. I mean, I've heard this. Someone's told me, I don't know how many times I've heard, that South Africa's banks, their price to book is as cheap as they've been since the Rubicon speech.
That's it.
But guess what? They can stay that cheap.
Yeah.
They can be as cheap, but as you said, there's no need to chase these prices. Yeah.
But, you know, Cookie has been around for a long time. And
he was Coronation, wasn't he?
He started at Mutual.
Yes,
and but that's right.
But he did go to coronation.
Yeah, and he knows the whole
really,
global.
No, he was. It was one of the most entertaining speeches I've heard in the last last while.
Yeah, it's through Cookie that I ended up going to Omaha. You know, he was always arranged a trip, and I went for many, many years. I still talk to him, and that. He taught me how to run up the hills in Cape Town. You know? It was good.
Interestingly, like we said, like what's the next big thing? So I always like sort of prepping people, like as money managers, like what's the next big thing? Are electric vehicles? Do you need to be early in that? Or what is it? So he said he's positioning the stuff with regards to, you said he thinks inflation and interest rate sensitive stocks are going to surprise. Like he thinks inflation is going to kick in quicker than people think. So he's basically leaning more towards interest rate sensitive stocks. So I don't know what that means, but use it, don't use it. But it was a very refreshing conversation.
Very good. Okay, so we're not touching banks. Is that what you're saying? So I need an explanation. And Nick, I'm going to stay with you on this one about what happened yesterday, because there were moves of 10, 11, 12%, 7%, 5% here and there, all SA Inc. stocks. What happens on a day like that, or what has happened? What's the lead up to that? Is it someone overseas that says, okay, I need exposure to South Africa now, it's only a tiny part of my portfolio, so I don't care what price I pay. They phone up a couple of brokers and they just press the buy button and they're not price sensitive? Because that's, I know that if you were, if one of your clients came to you and said, Nick, I need an exposure to First Rand, you'd finesse the deal, or one of your dealers would finesse the deal. This seemed like an overseas order to me yesterday.
Yeah, I think there's a bit of that, Lindsay. I think, you know, when we, you know, the brokers, or as the New York Stock Exchange still has their sort of specialists on the floor, you know, you do, as you said, to quote you, you do finesse the order. You know, you go on the bid, you don't chase the price, etc. But, I mean, if you're a $10, $20 billion hedge fund and you say, I need to put XYZ to work in emerging markets, I want 3% in Singapore, 4% in Thailand, I want 5% in South Africa, and you put it to work. And you put $1, $2, $3 billion, and you need to buy a basket of shares, and you're looking at financials or ETFs. I mean, you can easily move the price 4-5%. So, I mean, I would concur. I mean, the price movement yesterday on our banks, I mean, certainly smacked of an offshore entity coming in. Just
yes.
There was no finessing. There's no going on the bid and waiting. It was like cross the double, take the offer, and just push it up. I mean, 5% in that bank, go for it. You know, you have 11% move in Absa, 10% in Standard Bank, and it was just taking a position and going for it.
They went for retailers as well,
big time. Eh?
Yeah. Retail, they went. I mean, some of the
Look,
retail
shop, I mean,
levels.
ShopRite was up. ShopRite was up 10% on Tuesday.
Yeah,
it was up 11% yesterday. Mm. I mean, it's up another 2% today. I mean, that's 23% up. Yep. So it's a quarter increase in market cap in 3 trading days. And ShopRite's a big share. I mean, that's a big move.
Yeah, it is. And Truworths as well. I mean, since its results have come out, it's just been a straight line up, which, again, is very
there.
Gratifying.
There
was... But, yeah, no news apart from the results, and they weren't that fantastic.
Yeah. If you read Moody's report, and it depends on how you assess Moody's, and if you look at the data that came out today, the manufacturing data, there's a slight improvement there. But when you look at our current account and you start to look at the absolute numbers, we've got massive issues ahead of us, massive problems. We're not the United States. We're not Europe. We haven't got that wealth behind us. You know, we're a struggling nation. And I think, as Moody says, you know, this is, while we're still going to face a lot of fiscal woes, and not going to generate, we're not generating the revenue to actually plow back into the economy. You know, we're just trying to survive, pay down debt.
I must say the last few days is the first time I've actually sat back and thought, you know, this country that we love and live in has got some serious problems. I mean, the numbers that have been coming out from consumer confidence, retailing, you know, they're a little bit better, and they, you know, and businesses trying to get back to normal. But as a country, and as running a, if you had to run like a ledger as a country, I mean, I think we're close to insolvency. You know, we're not going to get the tax revenues you want. We're going to be 350, 400, I don't know what the number is, billion short. And now we've gone to the IMF, we've taken a loan out of dollars and broken our own rules. You know, it's I think we've got some serious problems. And it's the first time that I'm a pro SA bull. It's the first time I've actually got a little bit nervous thinking, sure, we've got some challenges there. My goodness.
And the Rand is reflecting that today, because the Rand is down 1.5% against the US dollar. And that's with the dollar being weak as well. We've got dollar Rand at 16.87, British pound against the Rand 21.71. We've got the euro Rand at 20.04.
The Rand is, sorry to interrupt, the Rand is, the dollar has been slammed against all the crosses.
It has.
So this is very much a sell the Rand
story. It really is, which is very unusual. Euro dollar is pulled back a little bit now. It's 118.80, was 119.10 after the ECB decision, which was unchanged. I mean, they said nothing. I had no idea, actually, talking about that, David, how much money they've chucked at the pandemic. It's the PEPP, and I can't remember what that acronym stands for. It's something to do with pandemic it's not PEPP.
PEPP.
It's pandemic emergency. I don't think they're spending 1.35 trillion euros on overalls, what do you mean? But that's a lot of money, isn't it? 1.35 trillion. Yeah. And in fact, the balance sheet of the ECB is bigger than that of the Feds now, apparently. Yeah. That's what somebody told me
exactly
today.
You're exactly right, Lindsay. I mean, how many times I've seen people tweeting about the Fed? They're printing money, they're going to destroy the dollar. Take a look at the ECB.
It's a monster.
It's spot on. They're painting themselves into a monster corner. They're much worse than the Fed. Much worse. Debt to GDP is much worse.
And yet the euro rallies. Anyway, where was I? The gold price is doing nicely.
She wasn't worried about the currency. Christine Lagarde didn't worry. She's not going to protect or defend the currency and try and bring it down and make.
She said she'll keep an eye on it, which is nice of her.
Yeah. Well, you know, Europe's an export nation. It's not a consumer nation. They need a weaker currency that helps them. So anyway, so that's one of the reasons. But listen, if we don't do it, we're not going to get out of this. You know, that's one thing. We can complain and do what we like.
Do you not think, David and Lindsay, that we might be heading into a little bit of a currency war here, where, you know, people are starting to concern about their strength in their currencies?
Well, I think it suits the dollar. It suits the export side.
Suits the Germans.
It suits the Americans that we could dollar.
Anyway, okay. The gold price, 19. You're quite right, Nick. We've gone from 106 to 119. Mr. Trump prefers a stronger dollar. The Germans prefer a weaker euro, not a stronger euro. So there's something going on anyway. But it's a steady, steady movement and has been for the last 4 or 5 months. Gold price, 1958, liking the slightly weaker dollar. It's up $4. The platinum price is up $38 to $941. The oil price I'll get to in a moment. But what's palladium doing, please, Nick?
Yeah, also, with the other commodities in this week, a dollar up $32 at the moment, 1.43%. It is just broken 2,300. It's 2,304 at the moment.
Okay, I've got West Texas down 0.5% or 20 cents a barrel to $37.85. That's been on the slide for about a week now, or just under a week. And Brent crude oil is still above 40. It's $40.59, or down around about 0.5%. Nick, any other stocks before I get to my top five and bottom five? Any stocks that have caught your eye today, apart from the ones we've already spoken of?
The commodity story for me is certainly playing out. I mean, the three of us have been very vocal the last month or two about this, you know, preparing for a weaker dollar scenario. And again, I feel a little bit vindicated by comments from Mr. Koyman kicking in, and you want to own commodities. And I mean, Northern Platinum up 7%. We've got Impala Platinum up 6.5%. You know, that weaker dollar playing out, that stronger commodity. And I just think I get that's theme for me for the year. Is this weak dollar, strong commodity story? And then on the other side, a little bit disappointing, because I've been quite a bull on the stock, is Aspen came out with the earnings after close last night. And I thought management were doing what the market wanted. Like, what more do you want from us? But David, you were quite vocal on Tuesday about, you know, selling off the crown jewels. And maybe there's a little bit of that in the price today, where people are saying, well, you know, what's left with the original Aspen now, and down 5.6%. So for me, that was a little bit disappointing.
You know, it comes back to what I'm saying. I please do not take this comparison seriously. But when Marcus Uster, every year there was a different company, and you could never make a comparison. I never knew where they were going. I don't want to put Aspen in that light at all. But I'm saying it's very difficult if you track them over the last decade, you know, to see all the acquisitions and then all the sales. You start to say, well, what are they? In fact, I asked our analyst, Alec Abraham, today. I said, please, when you do your report, please give us an organogram of what they do and where they focus. So
Did you get your answer?
No, he's going to do it first.
Well, I can tell you where you can get your answer.
Are you? What are you?
Exactly.
Right now?
No, you can get your answer, David, by going to strictlybusinesspodcast.com, because at 11:15 this morning I spoke to Stephen Sard and I said to him, I was very open with him, I said, do you blame yourself for almost getting ahead of yourself and overextending? And he went through the things that he'd bought and the things that he'd sold and why he'd bought them and why he'd sold them. He was very honest about it. It's a really good interview. It's about a 15-minute interview.
Okay.
So have a listen to that when you get a chance. It's up. It's been up for most of the day. Okay.
Lindsay, first of all, Richmond was up 6% today.
Yeah, that was
I don't know.
I don't know why. No, it's scratching my head. Look, they did come out this morning saying they were going to cancel that warrant issue
A loyalty
incentive scheme. Well, we are. I mean, no one
can, a loyalty program.
Typical Mr. Rupert. No one could quite figure out the small print. I mean, it was very complicated. But I don't know. I mean, I have absolutely no idea, because no one I know is buying luxury goods. But I mean, yeah, nice, decent bounce today. Maybe it's a bit of a brand hedge play, I guess, in the back of it.
And then transaction capital as well.
Right at the top.
They did the deal. I looked into this We Buy Cars, and it's a solid business. Very, very solid business. And, you know, chaps who started with nothing, they were school teachers, or I can't remember the surnames, and I really feel bad for that, because I read the story. I think either Badenhorst or something like that. But this gentleman started 25 years ago just selling one or two cars, and from that he's built up this incredible business in used cars.
I think it's the largest massive used car thing in transaction capital. I mean, sorry, you know, investing. I mean, I think 49.9% in We Buy Cars, but quite a story actually. Quite an impressive local story, I think.
Mm. Yes,
and they're paying $1.8 billion for say half. So this is
49.9%.
This is a deal for a PTY, pretty good deal.
No, it's a monster deal. It just shows you that there is, in that private equity space, is I think is quite a. But I mean the transaction capital, remind me, David. They SA Taxi, are they?
Or? Yeah.
They finance taxis. That's where they started. Yeah.
They was the
so let's take the vertical integration.
Mm-hmm.
You finance your taxi through them, okay?
Right.
So then if your taxi has an accident, you have to go to one of their panel beaters. They also, if you owe them, they send their debt collectors. You know, they buy books and that.
Now, really?
Being a bit, they're a good company. But they've got the whole line, the whole supply chain. And now what happens when you want to sell the taxi, you go to We Buy Cars. So,
do you think the synergy is there in this?
Totally.
Okay.
But it's I always go at them in a nice way because
but transaction capital, I mean, I know because we had this little competition in January. We each had to pick a share. I chose that piece of rubbish to sell. We had the lockdown and no one's buying cider. And but one of my colleagues chose Transaction Capital, and I think he's like well ahead of the curve. I mean, this thing was like $8. It's 20 rand now.
No, it's quite a good little
success story.
No, yeah.
7.4% higher today, Transaction Capital. Northam was up 7.1%. Impala Platinum up 6.6%. Nedcor up nearly 6%. And Richemont up nearly 6% as well. On the downside, Renet down nearly 6%. Aspen, a 5.2% loser. Vivo up, down 5.5%. I don't know why I mentioned that one. And Resilient down 4.2%. We've had a trading statement from Bidvest after the market closed and since we've been speaking. So, Nick, you and I will talk about that tomorrow morning. Give us the closing indices, if you would.
Yeah, so, I mean, a really, really good day for this Thursday, Lindsay and David. I mean, we closed up the all share of 55,953. Sure. That's 1.35% firmer. Top 40, of course, not left behind either. 1.36% firmer, 51.532. And if we drill down to different indices, you've got utilities up 11.43%, that index. Technology 1.46% firmer. Financials also in a good day. That's despite the Rand being 1.6% weaker. Financials 0.79% firmer. And on the downside, energy shares 0.25% weaker. Industrials 0.58%. Healthcare down 1.46%. That's, of course, your Aspen dragging that index down. But I think overall, a solid, really good day for this Thursday.
Very good. Second day in a row, in fact. And to close the show, I want to talk to you about a certain Donald J. Trump. I watched with a good deal of fascination the releases from the Bob Woodward book and the Bob Woodward interviews that he somehow allowed himself to get conned into. I mean, Bob Woodward held back, and it's all documented. Yeah. He lied consistently. But I picked up something from The Atlantic last week, and I want to read it to you. This is the President of the United States. So put your feet up, because it'll take a minute and a half. And this is what he said, and this is a transcript of an interview. He says, "If you get the unsolicited ballots, send it in and then go. Make sure it counted. And if it doesn't tabulate, you vote. Just vote. And then if they tabulate is very late, which they shouldn't be doing, they'll see you voted and so it won't count. So send it in early and then go and vote. And if you're not tabulated, you vote and the vote is going to count. You can't let them take your vote away. These people are playing dirty politics, dirty politics. So if you have an absentee ballot, or as I call it, a solicited ballot, you send it in. But I would check it in any event. I would go and follow it and go vote. And everyone here wants to vote the old-fashioned way." Well, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's got such a jumbled brain, he just opens his mouth and spews out this drivel. Can you believe that?
I tell you what my concern for November the 3rd is that this particular man might not go quietly into the night. Yeah. I don't think if he loses, he's going to go quietly. And that here and now is the problem.
Okay. All right, gentlemen. Well, thanks very much for that. An interesting chat. Nick Kunzer is Sandham Private Wealth. David Shapiro is the Deputy Chairman of Sasfin Securities. And that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.